Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps, Cleveland's sports radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Oh boy, changing of the guard for your Cleveland Browns. What is going on? Paul DePodesta going back to baseball. What's he going to do without Mulder, Hudson, and Zito? I don't know.
Incredible thought partner.
That's right. Incredible thought partner. We'll talk about him today on Baskin and Phelps, your favorite show from 10.05 to 2 each and every day. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin.
10.05. I thought we started at 10.
No, we started at 10.05. Stern is back. We're good. Jeff, who do we have coming up on the show today? Big show.
You tell me.
Well, I'll tell you. Josh Booty's going to join us at 11 o'clock. Former Browns quarterback, played for the Marlins. A little bit of outfield action right there. Brian Anderson, super friend of the show. Talk a little bit of about everything. He is a quadruple extravaganza when we get him. I don't know what that
good
means.
Lord.
Tim May is going to join us today from the Tim May podcast. They'll talk Ohio State as the Buckeyes get set for their big game tomorrow. And all kinds of good stuff going on in between. But again, the big storyline, my friend, yesterday, as soon as we got off the air, the news broke that Paul DePodesta, no longer the chief strategy officer for your Cleveland Browns. What are you going to do? If you don't have a strategy, do you have anything?
Have they had a strategy since he's been
here? No, I don't think the strategy's been that good. So.
Obviously a really smart guy. Obviously really knows sports from the analytics standpoint. Obviously,
does he?
Very well, obviously, sure. He's made a ton of money doing it for several teams in several sports.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean you were good at it. Look at his record while he was here. I mean, if you want to look at the football record.
I didn't
record.
Just say here. I said numerous teams in numerous sports. Bottom line is the team hasn't been successful since he's been here. And to agree with what Anthony Lima said, we heard the little promo before our show. If somebody could tell me what the team's going to be missing without Paul working here, great. I'm all ears. I think the only people who probably really know that are the Haslams and Andrew Berry and maybe Kevin.
I
God knows we don't know.
Well, I mean,
chief strategy officer. What's that mean, Andy?
Big picture. Look at what they're doing. We all know that he was well known for analytics, so he was brought in to put that implement into the. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here trying to figure out what he did.
All you need to know.
It just tells you that it probably wasn't successful, and it wasn't when you look at his numbers when he was here. But, I mean, look, good luck to him.
Sure,
I'm excited
absolutely.
For him to move on to the Rockies. And, I mean, he's got his work cut out for him. It feels very similar to probably his early days with the Indians when he came on board with them. But, what I heard last week from somebody who I trust, that the Browns had taken a deeper look at their analytics and did analytics on the analytics and kind of said, what are we doing
Wait
here?
A minute. If they were doing analytics on the guy who did the analytics.
Not then, on the guy, on the analytics
itself.
Well,
then itself. Who did it? Did he do the analytics on his own work and analyze that it wasn't working and thought maybe this is a good time to go to baseball?
I don't think that's the way it was described to me. It was just more of a, hey, let's take a step back and look at what our analytics is doing and where this is getting us.
By the way, Moneyball.
There's nothing against analytics. Go ahead with Moneyball. Yeah.
The Moneyball movie did him no justice. I mean, Jonah Hill's a great actor, but
that's why he didn't approve it.
Body types,
No, that's
all, I don't played college football.
Well, and Jonah Hill was an amalgamation of a few guys.
Yeah, I know. Well,
yeah, I mean,
so you say, except for one thing.
Most guys can walk into an office at any point.
Yeah, except for one thing.
Yeah,
that role was filled by Paul DePodesta, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, but he also didn't give them the right
permission to use his name.
Yeah, nothing right there. I wonder what he would have made in NIL off that movie.
Jeff Thomas sent me a text. DePodesta was an idea guy. And so was Michael Keaton in Night Shift.
Well, he did get...
I'm an idea man, Chuck.
I mean, Diane Chambers did show up, didn't she? Or Shelley Long? One and the same?
But not for Michael Keaton.
Did it really matter? I mean, the analytics of getting her in the movie at that point was probably worth it.
Maybe.
Did it matter?
Feed the mayonnaise straight to the tuna.
Here's the thing.
Oh.
If you look, did Paul DePodesta have a big influence in the drafting done by Andrew Berry? If so, okay, well, that didn't work.
Well, he was sitting at the head table. He was at the dais during the draft, so we know that, right? Right? He was sitting at the dais.
If he had a major influence, that didn't help. If he was the driving force behind the Deshaun Watson trade, that didn't work. If he was the chief strategy officer and he said, don't do the Deshaun Watson trade, well, they didn't listen to him, and that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a long track record of not continuous success. How's that? Because you did make the playoffs a couple of times here in the last few years. Great. Do you have to replace him? No.
That was the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, who are they going to get? Wait, do they need someone to replace him?
Do they need someone? No. Now, if they choose to replace him, you know, if this is the beginning of a restructuring of the organization, then that's another thought, and we'll be talking about that for a long time.
Here's the one, man, I don't know if it's good or bad, the one lasting trait that I will remember Paul DePodesta for in his journey with the Browns, and which most of you will forget about in about a week, 2 weeks, and go, oh yeah, didn't they have that baseball guy who had something to do with the A's, Moneyball thing? Didn't they have him for a while? What happened with that? And you wonder if he's still here or not there. So I think the one thing he taught, and Jeff, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, he taught the Haslams patience. I think that was the one thing that he gave the Browns.
Took him a while to do that.
Yeah, because early on in their tenure of owning the team, the Haslams seemed to have a quick trigger and were going through coaches and didn't seem happy. And then, but I also think the Haslams found themselves in the crossfire early on between, Joe Banner was here. You know, was he gifted to the Browns from the NFL by, you know, for his good work with the rookie salary cap and all that stuff? I mean, you hear stuff and he gets credit for that rookie salary cap. So maybe that was a attaboy there. And then Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner. And, you know, I can understand where the Haslams were coming from when they were looking for some solid footing to try to run an organization. And DePodesta made sense. I really have no problem with them.
And he's a really smart guy. You know,
we just don't know what, football-wise,
we don't know what
you
he
will walk away with, and we don't know. I don't think that he ever called a play.
If you knew what he did, then you were working for the Cleveland Browns in a high-up role.
Oh, no, I think that people understand that, I mean, that DePodesta was a part of the Haslam Sports Group.
Yeah, okay.
And that there were things there.
What did you do? Okay,
so if you're a part of the Haslam Sports Group, you have some sort of influence on the Browns, on the Columbus Crew, on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, wait a minute. That wasn't in his job title.
He was a part of the Haslam Sports Group.
Chief Strategy Officer for the Browns,
but also a part of the Haslam Sports Group. Both. He was there, and I think maybe he
should have paid more attention to the Browns because that hasn't worked.
I'm not saying again. How do you know? What if he wasn't there trying to rename?
Exactly the point.
But
the whole thing is so vague, I don't know that we can even think. Well, is it good or bad?
I think it's fair to think that some of that role, and if you're trying to find an equivalent, would be Mark Shapiro. Like Mark was a baseball operations guy who had the ability here, and especially because the Dolans gave him the opportunity, to expand his horizon, to become more of a baseball president, to deal with things like...
concession stands.
Well, concessions and suites, but just also business partners.
You do have good
and
dogs.
Business opportunities.
Good dogs.
Because there is more to it than just the baseball side of that for Mark.
Should we thank Mark for the good hot dogs at the ballpark?
So when you talk about Paul DePodesta, I think that... obviously he had influence on the playing ability of this. Not he had influence on the structure of the football operation side, but I think DePodesta was more to the Haslams than just that, and that's okay.
I would
it's fine.
So.
I know he was. This isn't an assumption. I'm not making it up.
Well, if you've known for 10 years what he did, why haven't you shared it?
Jeff, I have shared it numerous times. Maybe if perhaps you found some Q-tips and opened up your ears a little bit, you would have heard us say time and time again.
I'm Andy Baskin. I'm in the know.
Jeff, you're not? I mean, that's how the show starts every day, doesn't it? That's how we got the gig in the first place. We kind of knew some people along the way.
Hey, Andy, I'm in the know.
I guess Jeff's not in the know
the whole time.
Can we please change the open then?
I've known what Paul DePodesta did.
I'm not saying I know exactly what he did. Yeah, no, it is. It was in the open today.
I heard. Incredible thought partner.
There it is. He's a thought partner.
Oh, man. Does anyone have any preparation age? Because that's how I feel right now with my part. Again, Paul DePodesta is out. It does.
Explains 10-20.
Paul DePodesta is out. What does that mean? Does that give you hope, Browns fans, that they may go into a different direction? I also think this was the cleanest exit for him.
Sure was.
To be able to go to a baseball team. It's not like he got fired. He got to choose his destiny. It's not. I don't think he was going to get fired anyway. But
he's got to move to Denver, doesn't he?
Denver's a nice town, dude.
Yeah, well, I know. I like Denver. But, I mean, you going to run a baseball team from California in the back bedroom?
Yeah, why not? What's the difference?
I would think he's got to be there.
Why do we think he didn't have to be here? Why would he have to be there?
Because this is like the president of baseball ops. This is like, hey, this is what you do,
Jeff,
as opposed to
you do
chief
realize,
strategy officer.
You do realize we had a pandemic along the way that changed everything. Like, you don't have to be in the office. You know who has to be in the office? The three idiots sitting right here. We have to be in the office because we used to do this show in our boxer shorts sitting in the basement. And guess what? Paul can run a baseball team in his boxer shorts sitting in his basement.
Well, I hope it goes better than running a football team from his boxer shorts in his basement.
It's got to be better than 57-111-1.
I miss Meredith and me watching all those cartoons.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Why do you think it happened? Is it a good thing? Paul DePodesta, no longer a part of the circle of trust, or as he likes to say, or Andrew Berry used to like to say, that they were...
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't believe the way you improved the... And great job on the... Help me! Help me. Does anyone... Jeff and I are sitting there discussing this.
You got me, man.
What did he do? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092.
Never told us, and we didn't work in that part of sports in Northeast Ohio, so we may never know.
I look at it as I think he was a paid confidant of the management team, the Haslams in particular, and guided this team in a direction. You determine what the direction was. Because I will tell you that the fact that we got stability was something that we had, you know, yearned for a long time. Yeah. And while he was here, you know, you may not have liked the coaches, you may not have liked the general managers, you may have loved them, they may have made decisions while he was here that you know, were ecstatic about. I think he slowed things down for the Haslams to make it palatable so that the Haslams, who were on a, you know, Al Davis type course of being known for making changes left and right, that he slowed everything down. And I'm okay with that. I don't really have a problem with that. And I think that that's, you know, a feather in his cap. Outside of that, though, you know, other than his relationship of making the business work and trying to have his fingerprints on the football operation side. It is what it is. So we do know, though, right, by the fact that Andrew Berry said they were thought partners, that he did have influence on the football operation side. Is that enough evidence for you, Jeff?
No.
So why would they be thought partners then?
Andy, it sounds, I would think that Paul, and if you're the Haslams, why wouldn't you hire a smart guy to have somebody who you can bounce ideas off of? That, I would assume that was a huge part of it, so that the Haslams had someone who could help guide them as owners of a sports franchise, because these were folks who owned a trucking empire and a media company. And this is a really smart guy who had been in sports. Nothing wrong with that. But they never, they never defined exactly what it is he did. So I've always just kind of assumed that he was a big-time consultant for the Haslams. But that was an assumption on my part.
Let me jump this to the next theory here. So, and as Dan had said, and we had talked about this, is the writing on the wall perhaps for a turnover
for the entire organization?
Because if you lose a thought partner, is that not the equivalent of a sports lobotomy then?
Okay.
You with me? If you're going to pull away part of the brain, what are you going to do?
Depends.
You're going to have full Dr. Frankenstein and have a transplant?
I would doubt it.
I don't think that it matters. The only part of it,
I wouldn't think it does either.
The direct correlation there is that Dee Podesta seemed to be the champion for Kevin Stefanski to come in here. In fact, he would have liked to have seen it a year earlier. That we have based on reports and things that have been said. Okay? So there you wonder if that connection, and then Andrew steps in and says what he says in the middle, that, that they were thought partners. I mean, because really that's the hardest evidence we have about everything, right? We're going to say it a million times.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
There it was.
That sounds like a consultant, doesn't it?
No, it sounds like it's more than a consultant.
Okay.
Because I think about times that you've been around and used consultants, and we'd look at the consultants would come in, and your boss would be like, oh, the consultants were in today. Man, they got this great idea, this great idea, this great idea. And then you would turn and look back at your boss and go, it's a great idea when you're sitting in the ivory tower and you don't have to execute the work every day. Now, sometimes consultants can give you the efficiency you need to make your business better. But let's be honest, consultants know, because they were probably in the job at some point, that they're not really there for the long haul. They're in to just make a mess and get out. That's the way most consultants I've ever dealt with were. For the most part. My best would be like, this is my favorite thing about consultants. This works in L.A. This works in New York. And I'd turn and I'd be like, you're in Cleveland. You really think that's going to work here? And guess what? Most of the time, never works. I mean, come on. It's just, you can always come up with a good strategy, I think. But even if you execute it to the best, it's not always going to work. So I ask you again, do you think this is going to have a major impact on what we're seeing with Kevin? Is this the start of something? I can't answer that today. I actually don't think so. I think that Andrew stands on his own merits. I think that Kevin stands on his own merits too. But maybe that's the way it's all been perceived, because we never really heard what Paul's thoughts were on anything, except for every once in a while he'd jump up there and he would talk.
I just always thought, Andy, if the guy had any huge role in the actual football operation, we would have heard from him from time to time. We've done this for way too long.
I don't know. We didn't hear from Andrew Berry.
Well, we hear from Andrew Berry, though.
I'm trying to think of the last time Kevin talked.
We just didn't hear from him at the trade deadline. But Andrew Berry goes out front and center and talks about the football team. Paul Dee Podesta rarely, if ever, did that. And that's why I've always assumed that Andrew Berry was calling the shots as the general manager and everything else, because otherwise Paul would have been out there doing some of that or been there with him on most everything. But he didn't do that. So, we're not going to disparage the guy. Brilliant guy.
Because we don't know 100% what he did. But there were things that you could see that had changed in the organization when he got here that I thought were positive.
You said this at the first segment of the show. Bottom line, since we didn't know exactly what it was he might be doing, you can judge Paul DePodesta's tenure here by three numbers. Wins, losses, and ties. And it wasn't good, Andy.
Well, he did have one tie.
Yeah, I know. Well, that doesn't mean that's good.
And the other part of
this,
too.
The team wasn't successful while he was here. End of story, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the question now is what happens moving forward? Is it just Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski? Do they hire someone above them? And if they hire someone above them, that might not be good for Andrew Berry and Paul and Kevin Stefanski.
I'm going to throw one more at you. If the movie Moneyball never came out, would you ever have cared that Paul DePodesta was in this strategic consultant? I'll give you the consultant kind of role for the organization.
Would I care?
Would anyone really know who Paul DePodesta was? And care about his impact?
I would have, because we know his background.
Yeah, because of his time with the Indians. But
the average person who doesn't pay as much attention to sports as we do probably wouldn't know that.
I wonder if fans even care. Like, does this make a difference? Does this make you think, as a fan, that the fact Paul DePodesta is now moving over to baseball, does that give you hope? Does that give you, like, cynicism that make you think things will get worse? Or do you just don't care because he wasn't in your daily lives the way Kevin Stefanski is in your daily life? Andrew Berry is in your daily life because that's the position they're in. Does it matter? Did Paul DePodesta's time here matter?
It probably mattered to the Haslams because he helped them learn how to own a sports franchise. All I got.
But yeah, it's not like he owned a sports franchise.
No, but he knew how to. He knew how sports franchises operated. You know, remember, he wasn't just with the A's. He ran the Dodgers, too.
Right.
You know, so he
was here in Cleveland for a little bit and with the Mets.
Yeah, when he was much younger, obviously, he was here. But that's...
I mean, he made his mark here. It's where it's kind of started.
Well, it's where he started. He made his mark
made his
in
mark
Oakland.
In Oakland.
Yeah. Maybe he made his mark at Harvard, let's be honest, right?
So do you think this is a pound of flesh for the fan base then?
No, I truthfully, I'll ask you that question. That's the question, but I don't think it is.
I don't think this is the pound of flesh for the fan base, but I think it needs to be out there.
Is it the beginning though? Is this the hors d'oeuvre?
Well, that maybe this is the, all right, everybody is going to stay, but we'll give you something. You know, we'll give you this. Because like, it just has that feel to it of, all right, we didn't make a whole lot of trade. You know, we didn't make a lot of moves at the deadline. Some people thought Kevin Stefanski was going to get fired after if he didn't win the Dolphins game. That was floating around all over the place, and that stuff doesn't dissipate. So maybe this was the pound of flesh. That was one of the thoughts that was out there. Maybe this is the sacrificial lamb, if you prefer that method better.
I don't think the fans get it, though. I don't think the fans care.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Well, no, because it's not.
All you have to do is say the word analytics, and you'll have a whole bunch of people screaming and yelling and losing their mind, mostly because they have no idea that what exactly analytics is or what it does or the impact that it has, because none of us do, because they don't tell us anything, because they have aliens behind there at Area 51 in Berea.
You know, I always make fun of you on the analytics thing, but if you go back and look at what Paul Brown did, if you disassociate analytics from computations and math, for the most part, that there's more to analytics than just. And I think this is part of
Bill Belichick too.
This is what I was told too. That like, DePodesta was a lot more than just numbers and things like that. This was in the beginning when I was told that you know he was just more. And so when I talk about the Paul Brown part of it, it's hey, we have a playbook. That's analytics. Hey, we have a structured time throughout the day that we're going to practice. Hey, we are going to recommend this kind of food to help increase speed, strength, endurance. And by the way, we're going to get in the weight room and we're going to monitor what we're doing here and see if we can have a tangible result from saying, ooh, look, he did 30 push-ups and he's able to hold on to the ball better than he was when he was only doing 5 push-ups because his core is stronger. I mean, some things sound like common sense, but when you organize it, it then becomes analytics. It's not just numbers. And I know I make fun of you a lot because I hate the fact that we think everything in baseball is about numbers. Because I mean, you know if a pitcher's pitching well,
absolutely,
leave him in the game. Like, no, we got to pull him out. We got to worry about his contract and this and this. Hey, the guy's got a chance for a one hitter. Leave him in the game. If he's got it, he's got it. Go get the win. Take it for today. All right, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more. I've got some phone calls. Folks want to chime in on this Paul D. Podesta taking the job with the Rockies. So you want to do it too? 216-474-0092. Josh Booty, yeah, former Browns quarterback, going to join us at 11 o'clock, almost a half hour away. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul D. Podesta now going to the Colorado Rockies. He will leave his position as chief strategy officer of your Cleveland Browns. That news broke yesterday. Josh Booty
is an incredible thought partner.
Yes, he is. Josh Booty will join us in 19 minutes right here on Baskin and Phelps. Then we're going to have Brian Anderson on. Right after him, Tim May is coming up a little bit later in the show.
So is Kevin Stefanski.
And Kevin Stefanski and Two Keys in a Lock. Jeff, we're looking forward to doing Two Keys in a Lock with you.
Thanks.
It is a very, many intellectuals listen to the show only during Two Keys in a Lock, right? Isn't that true, Dan?
Many?
Dozens.
Are they thought partners? Is that the deal?
No, not necessarily, but they are the brains behind the show and our listeners throughout the week that they lock in for that. And of course,
got to be dozens.
And
right?
Then we have our annual Mensa meeting at 1:40 for quick predicts. So that's when we really step the intelligence level of the show up, right?
We only get smarter as the day goes on. We ease into things.
That's why we ask you, why am I smarter throughout the week? And then we have the pinnacle, the apex of radio when it comes to quick predicts at 1:40, where you'll tell us the score of the Browns game coming up on Sunday against the Jets, and you'll give us Monday morning's headline. But we're a little bit off. We're about 3 hours away, so you can start writing those down, start thinking about those, which I know you've been doing all week anyway. So 216-474-0092. Why do you think this whole thing with D. Podesta kind of works out clean, right? This is a clean ending to Paul D. Podesta. He wants to go back to baseball.
He didn't get fired?
No.
And he moves on to something else.
Yes. Clean.
Would he have been fired? Who knows? I would think not. He's been here a long time, and the Haslams certainly seem to have liked him.
Clean, Dan? And is this the next step? Is this step one, or is this just kind of, okay, that's over, no big deal. We tried this, and now it's over.
I wonder if this might be the answer of all of the theories floating out there, is that this guy just wanted to go back to baseball. He just wanted to run a team again, and he looked at the Colorado Rockies and said, they're a mess.
Yep.
They're 30 years behind everybody else. If I can bring the Rockies to prevalence, my goodness.
Well, let's just say he's got some experience with that here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean.
Exactly.
Some will question how many years behind the Browns are right now.
I wonder if maybe he looked at it that way. Because, again, it's not like the Haslams came out and said, this man is no longer working for us. It's Paul D. Podesta left the Browns. It's not like they fired him. It's not like they let him go. It's not any of those kind of things. It's Paul D. Podesta is no longer working for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it was kind of a wish you well kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder if maybe was the one through it all who went, I want to go rebuild the Colorado Rockies.
There's always the chance that the Haslam suggested, hey, Paul, if you get any other opportunities and you'd like to take them, that's okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think people can understand where that might be.
Yes.
Yeah. Jason's in Florida. Hey, Jason, what's up, man?
Hello, Jason.
Jason, you there? There we go. Hey, man.
Talk now, Jason.
Oh, my bad, guys. How you doing?
Morning. It's all right. What's going on?
Good. Hey, man, long-time listener, called a couple times. I moved to Florida and haven't spoken to you guys in a while, but I'm not going to lie, man. I smiled, and I had people that I've been talking about D. Podesta's need to be gone for a long time. Like, it's not so much the job. I mean, as chief strategy officer, you have to think what influence he had to have, right? He only reports to the Haslams. His fingerprints are all over that organization, and it's a mess. Like, I mean, that's the only thing we can say. We there's no sense in defending the guy. He had to go. I don't care if he went to baseball or wherever he went. But I truly not going to lie, man, I feel like a weight got lifted off the organization. It's not just about analytics. It's about the strategy being bad. It's about his fingerprints being all over the organization, his influence he had with the Haslams. He's part of the Deshaun Watson fiasco. He's part of the Baker Mayfield's fiasco. His fingerprints are all over it. So the cap situation they're in, the fact that the team is old, like, it's all the stuff. There's nothing that he's not involved in. And I called him the Three Stooges between him, Barry, and Stefanski. But they all need to go, in my opinion, but I'm glad he's gone.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Listen to us down in Florida on the Odyssey app.
Now, see, Jason's glad he's gone. Okay. And what Jason said, his fingerprints are all over it. We would assume so. Correct?
Yes.
We would assume so. However, we're not sure if he picked the players. We're not exactly sure exactly what the football operations side of it had to do with Paul DePodesta. All we do know is that since he's been here, the team has not been very successful. That's about all we can judge it on. So I understand Jason's thought. I wonder what you do moving forward.
Yeah, do you replace him? That's my question.
Well, replace what, Andy?
What he did. If it was analytics, if it was being the thought partner with your general manager, maybe we should retitle it from Chief Strategy Officer to Chief Thought Partner.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
See? Right? I mean, that's a job. I don't know. You want to look on LinkedIn? See if it's available?
The heck does that mean?
LinkedIn? It's a place where you go.
Thought partner.
That's not important right now.
It is not important. I may regret this. Bad is on line one. Bad.
Hey, fellas.
What's
How y'all
up,
doing?
How are you? You good?
All right. I don't remember which show it was on, but when he first got hired, one of you guys was like, why would they hire a baseball mind frame guy? You know, and for him to throw in the towel and then go back to baseball, like, one of you guys was like spot on with it. You know, I never even knew his name.
See, and that's my point. Like, I actually think most fans won't know that. I mean, I don't think we're going to know. We're not going to know what we're missing because we don't know 1,000% what he did, right? But if you see a drastic change, I think if you see a drastic change in drafting philosophy or getting wide receivers in here that might be 6'1 or 6'2, that maybe that might be a fallout effect of what we have there. So.
All right, fellas.
Sounds good. Bad. Thanks for calling, man. Have a good weekend.
The going between sports, in his situation, I don't have a huge problem with it. Smart guy, doing analytic type stuff, you can do that for various sports. You know, I mentioned Stan Kasten the other day. Stan used to be the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Then he worked in hockey a little bit, you know, because he was working with Ted Turner.
Right.
So Ted had him doing the hockey team too. And then he ends up with the Atlanta Braves. Then he ends up with the Dodgers. So, you know, if you're a really smart sports guy, you know how to run teams. You know, it's like if you're a big time businessman. All right, today we're selling widgets. Tomorrow we're going to sell vacuum cleaners. But I'm going to make us the best vacuum cleaner company in the world. You know, I mean, it's the product. You're selling, you're structuring whatever, the product. You don't necessarily have to be the football, basketball expert if you can hire people who can do that and you structure everything. That said, again, we're just kind of making assumptions as to exactly what the guy did here. All we do know is that during his run, they weren't very successful.
I found some irony line here. People always want to say, I find it funny too, because they say this with other people too, that DePodesta actually played college football.
Yeah, he did.
He was a wide receiver at Harvard. But what's interesting,
he wanted to work in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then got offered a gig to work in baseball by somebody right across the street.
So when you go to look up, and don't you find this interesting from an analytics guy, go to look up his stats at Harvard for when he was done, and you punch up the stats, there are no statistics available. Does anyone find the irony in that?
Football Ref?
In football. Well, no, it's GoCrimson.com.
Oh.
I don't know. It might be in collegefootball.com, but you would think his alma mater would have had his stats on him. He's got to work on that. I mean, if he wants street cred.
Go find the newspaper.
I don't, can you have street cred if you went to Harvard, though?
Yeah.
You can?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Every payday.
Think of every... I mean, think of all the comedians who went through Harvard. I mean, the Harvard Lampoon is very, very well known for a certain reason.
Well, I mean, it's catalyst for the majority of the humor on this show.
Exactly.
You think about it. I mean,
and the humor of all of us.
Wait a minute, you're talking about us, humor, and Harvard in the same sentence?
A lot of that stuff came through there.
Big assumptions there.
I mean, we do know that, you know, well, I'm not even going to go into it. So anyway, here's where we sit, right? So now they're trying to figure it out. What do you do moving forward? Or maybe they had already figured it out and said, hey, might not be a bad, like Jeff said, I think that that's a good way to look at it too, that maybe they kind of said, hey, this thing's kind of run its course. And if something opens up, take it. We're not pushing out the door, but if you see something, go take it.
Yeah.
Right.
Could have been.
There's a nice little severance package. Sure. Sure. He got one of those. I got a minute here. Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you? Mark, sorry about that. Hey, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's the good word?
Well, Mr. DePodesta, the other caller was right. His fingerprints are all over the travesty of the Browns. And you could say, oh, well, Jimmy Haslam may have told him or Jimmy Haslam like him. No, he knew he was on his way out, and he took a chance going to the Rockies. And he accepted the offer. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, he knows baseball better than football, although he never led the Indians to a World Series. Let's get serious about it.
Well, he never led the Indians.
He wasn't,
and how do we know Dolan didn't want him around?
Well, hey, listen, Frank, let me ask you. I mean, when he... was with the Indians, you know, he was like, he was just starting. He was basically an intern plus, right?
He was an intern, yeah.
And so he wasn't going to lead the team.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that when you're just kind of running stats.
He didn't lead as employee. An intern. He was anything but an intern when he left.
Do you think he was making decisions for the Indians when he was here?
Well, what did he do there?
He was an assistant to Mark Shapiro.
He was an assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know what? Let's execute this trade. You know, time to get rid of Kenny Lofton. I don't think he was making that call.
Office reference, sorry.
Yeah, no, it was a good one.
Oh, I was going to bring that up, getting rid of Lofton. How do we know he wasn't involved in that?
Oh, okay. Frank, come on. Thanks, man. Frank. He tried to call in his mark.
Well, it's the same guy
I can't believe Paul DePodesta didn't move us into Jacobs Field 15 years earlier. I'm blaming him for that.
Paul DePodesta's fault they didn't trade Jerry Wright for Pedro Martinez.
That's true.
That's Paul DePodesta.
Do you know, I heard Paul DePodesta was behind the Chris Chambliss trade to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Can't believe that guy.
What? He was
because of DePodesta, Albert Bell didn't stick around.
Oh, good one. Wait, that could actually be possible. Why would you? No. Tom Buskey, man. That was...
Paul DePodesta is the reason why they had Andy Marte. That's why.
Is he the reason behind changing?
That's true. That one hurt.
Is he the reason why they went to plastic chairs in the new ballpark instead of the wood ones?
From green to blue.
What was that all about? I also heard Paul DePodesta was in charge of the eye that looked like a feather. Can you believe that?
I kind of like that, though.
I loved it. Somebody was wearing it in here the other day, and they were getting it was Daryl was ripping. I can't remember who somebody walked in with
Daryl was ripping?
Yeah, shocker. By the way, Daryl and I dropped a podcast yesterday, a little bit of a brownie bite. What is your... Stop it.
Paul DePodesta paid for Michael Bourne and Nick Swisher.
Somebody had to.
He was gone by then, man. Long gone.
I know. I feel like we're just going to blame this guy for everything that went wrong. We may as well just heap it all on top of him.
That's true.
Not a bad way to go.
Why not? Nobody pays attention anyway.
I heard he was in charge of Bitcoin.
There you go.
Anything you want to blame Paul DePodesta for, feel free to. At 216.
Paul DePodesta leaked the tape to Odell's father so that he could tweet it out.
Oh.
If DePodesta hadn't been here, we'd already have lakefront development.
Ooh. I heard Paul DePodesta sold matches at one point, and that's why the river caught on fire. I'm not saying he had a direct influence on that. I'm just saying he would sell them on the street because he had nothing else to do before he was born. Of course, it was a prenatal action, so I just want to make sure we all know that.
The dome's underway. He leaves. Coincidence?
Oh, maybe. Maybe he did his job and helped them get to where they wanted to be with the dome.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll buy that. That might be the only logical thing we've said in the last 4.5 minutes.
Thanks.
216-474-0092. That is the number to get in on the show. Please stop blaming Paul D. Podesta for it. Oh, if you want to, maybe feel better. Maybe you can't blame him. Josh Booty, next, Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.